How do I follow Gabe? Well, I wasn't his son and I wasn't his family member, but I did get to know Rowan. And we gathered this morning to celebrate the life of a dear friend of all of us and brother in the Lord, Rowan Evans. I had the unique privilege of knowing him for a little over 4 years. And the first time I really met Rowan was on a Sunday after church when I brought Holy Communion over to the house on Gaskin to Martha, which I did quite often. And he came in. I didn't know that he visited every Sunday after church bringing her a bulletin and something about the sports page. He was at church every Sunday, unless there was something that kept him here. And by the way, those of you that really know Rowan, you'd be surprised. He stayed till the end. Because Rowan was known to, after communion, but stayed till the end. God bless him. What I would soon learn that was Rowan dedicated his life to Jesus. And he was trying his very best. He was the first one to tell you he wasn't perfect. And as he'd often tell me, he was trying to work on his language. He, like many of us, are a work in progress. And we're trying to do the things that we need to do. But we're here today because Rowan was called home by the Lord just a little over 2 weeks ago. On that day, a Thursday, I was blessed to be at the house with Sherry and Rowan, and we had Holy Communion, as he often did. He called me Reverend John. I knew when my cell phone lit up and it said Rowan Evans, when I pressed the button, I would hear Reverend John. And that was my personal greeting. Yeah, it was really special. But he leaned over and he asked me, after communion, he said, Reverend John, would you anoint Sherry and me and ask for patience for both of us with each other? I said, yes, and Sherry agreed. It was an absolute wonderful visit. And he wanted to walk me out to my car, putting a bag of lemons and oranges that Sherry and Rowan had packed for Marilyn and me on my front seat. And of course, Rowan had to include a bottle of wine for Marilyn, who we called the angel. Dealing with me, I guess, that made her that way. He gave me a hug and said, I'll see you next time. But I never imagined that Alyssa would let me know about after 10:30 that night that he had passed and that Gabe and the ambulance were on their way. I told her I was going too. Rowan had been taken by a massive heart attack, and I anointed him, giving him what most people call the last rites. I, along with his family and his friends, have lost a dear friend, a loving brother, father, grandfather, uncle, who is now resting in the Lord. Rowan did not want tears. He wanted a celebration. And after the service, by the way, y'all are invited over into Parish Hall. We're going to have a celebration. And the family has sent me about 3 million pictures. And so I have did my best to put them to music. And as soon as I'm divested, I will go over there and set it up and let it loop. The show is about 18 minutes long to music, and it'll just keep running. You will see, many of you will see yourselves, and you'll see a lot that Rowan has done. Well, at a time like this, we can, and I have to tell you, we must look to God's Word, the Bible, for comfort. I have to tell you that when Rowan took sick and was in great pain from his infected gallbladder, on that Wednesday morning, he laid on his bed, and Eve was right next to him, but he had his Bible on his chest. Somehow, he knew if he had the Bible near him, he was going to be okay. But he was telling us that the Lord was coming at 5 o'clock to take him that day. Rowan was late. Several weeks late, but that's okay. Time and time again, even in the ICU, when I visited him there, the Bible was right next to him. And he would read it from time to time. Time and time again, he was never far from his Bible, you know. And he knew what was in it, too, and was learning more and more about it. He'd try to trap me with questions, you know, about the Lord's Prayer. And Sherry and I, we were talking. It was near Christmas over in Vista Park. And he knew what he was talking about. God bless him. We always need to remember that the Bible is rich in comfort. And its many books and chapters contain beautiful portions that soothe and strengthen our heart. Some of them are quite familiar to some of us. John 14, verses 1 through 7, which we just heard is the Holy Gospel. Psalm 23, which Ken led us with. How beautiful. There's also 1 Corinthians 15 and portions of the prophet Isaiah. And Revelation 21, which Ken led us with too, to name a few. This morning, I really want to focus on several of the readings from God's Word. And I believe that the Lord especially placed them in Holy Scriptures for times just like this. The first I want to share with you is found in the book of Isaiah, written about 700 years before Jesus was born. One of Isaiah's shortest chapters is chapter 25, which contains only 12 verses. And this is the passage that I want to lay upon your hearts and minds today. The scripture is Isaiah 25, verse 8. It simply says, "He will swallow up death forever." Beginning in verse 1 in Isaiah 25, it starts with praise and thanksgiving. There's never a time when we can't praise the Lord, and never a time when we cannot thank Him. You know, it's funny. I had mentioned in a sermon about a three-word prayer. It was simply, "Help me, Jesus." Rowan knew that and used it. But he also followed with another three-word prayer, "Thank you, Jesus." Today we feel sadness and loss for our brother Rowan, who suddenly went home to be with the Lord. There's no doubt about it, we all miss him. And indeed our earthly lives will never be the same. But nothing has taken God by surprise. He has a plan, and he marks our days and our years. God knows what he's doing. And Rowan knew that. It's healthy and healing for us to lift up our tear-stained eyes to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. Worshiping God helps restore our perspective. It refocuses our attention on what's invisible, eternal, durable, and may I add, unchanging. There's no expiration date on the Bible. Please understand that. In the next several verses, Isaiah lifts some of the reasons that we should praise and thank our God. Verse 4 says that even if troubles should strike us like a rainstorm against the walls of our houses, we still have safety and strength within. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and in Him we find a refuge from the storm. Rowan was familiar with storms. On that highest point of Coffee County, boy, I tell you, it did damage. Because of that, these are Georgia long pine. Rowan's Georgia long pine. Unbelievable. Isaiah, more than any of the other prophets, spoke of and pointed towards Christ. Prophet Isaiah, the book of Prophet Isaiah is full of the Lord Jesus. In verse 6, Isaiah talks about a mountain in Jerusalem as though he had seen a cross on a hill far away. And he did see it with the eyes of faith and through the gift of prophecy. It reads, "On this mountain, God is going to meet the needs of his people. He's going to feed them living bread, and he's going to spread a table before them in the presence of his enemies." On this particular mountain, Isaiah said, God is going to meet the needs of the people of this world. On this same mountain, God is going to destroy something. The covering, cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all the peoples, Isaiah wrote, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Wow, what a picture. Our world, spinning in space, covered in a shroud, existing in darkness. The shroud of death covers every human being who lives, has ever lived, and will ever live. But Isaiah predicted there's a day coming when on a particular mountain, the eternal God Almighty would jerk away that shroud. He would remove our sorrow, and then he would swallow up death forever. Jesus Christ on the cross swallowed up death in victory. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 to 57, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Today, all of us here are keenly aware of sorrow and death. But what Jesus did on Calvary, when he died on the cross and rose from the tomb, changed everything for us. He prepared a feast of abundant eternal life for us. Eternal life that Rowan is now enjoying. And he destroyed the shroud that covers this planet, swallowing up death forever. Despite our tears, our feeling of loss, we wait today on the Lord, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. On the night before Jesus went to the cross, during the Seder meal, as we heard in the Holy Gospel, Jesus told his disciples where he was going. He was going to prepare a place for them and for us, that where he is, we may be also. In his description, Jesus made it clear that there is a way to get where he's going. And he told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." These are words of promise and encouragement that knowing Jesus as Lord will bring you to the place where he's going, eternal life. Jesus continued to encourage in saying, "If you had known me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." As I mentioned, I really got to know Rowan. But especially in the past year, as we talked on the phone quite often, I'd hear that familiar greeting, "Reverend John." And several times a week, he would stop by my office. Unannounced, just come in and we chat about plans and ideas for this altar. We were using a very small, borrowed altar here with a green rug. Well, it was greenish blue from St. Paul's. And Rowan had a plan. You see, this altar is copied after the altar that burned in St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in 1993. It's amazingly done. It was his plan to put that there. And then he didn't stop. The reredos, which is at the back wall. We had had a reredos there, which Rowan had in his barn, that when this church opened, that was put there. It was somewhat warped, but Rowan had a plan. He wanted to replace it, but he wanted it to look like the altar. Amazingly enough, made of Georgia long pine. And we would take treks in Rowan's truck. He always wanted me to drive his truck out to Willacoochee, to Derek Dillingham's wood mill and workshop to see the progress of the works of art that now reside in our sanctuary. And then he came into my office, plopped himself down in August, that my Christmas present was on its way. And it would be here next week, the following week. And I said, "I'm not getting a Christmas present." He said, "Yes, you are." He had this pulpit built by Derek as a surprise to me. And like the altar, this was crafted after the pulpit that burned and is in Rowan's living room. And I had seen it and marveled at it, and he wanted to surprise me. And I can't tell you how blessed I am to be continuing the promise of St. Andrew's in the pulpit of St. Andrews that was crafted by an amazing man, Derek Dillingham, who I believe is in the parish hall right now. And you'll see him afterwards. But there's somebody else. There's a guy named Mike. These would be bare wood if Rowan and Mike sanded every single part. Steve Williams built the altar rail from Rowan's wood and that back wall where the cross is to match. But they all had to be sanded, stained, and polyurethane. And Mike was there with his little headlight on his head, back over in the parish hall, and he and Rowan were sanding, and then they'd wipe it clean, and then they'd sand it again, and did everything that was needed. They sanded, stained, and polyurethane each item that was then brought in to our parish hall. What a beautiful gift to the church that Rowan loved. I want to share with you what's on the plaque on the back of the altar. Rowan wanted it to read this way. I wanted it to read that it was given by Rowan. And this is what he wanted it to read. This altar is given by the Lord through Rowan B. Evans IV, in loving memory of his father, Rowan B. Bunny Evans III, his mother, Martha Griffin Evans, his grandmother, Thule Evans Brewer Stubbs, and his children and grandchildren. That's there, and it'll live on. And there will be plaques put on each of the other items of furniture in days to come. But he wanted to tackle another project. His next project was seeing that the roof of this building would be restored to its original beauty of 1939, when it was built. And his family has promised that we will see this done together. Our dear friend, brother, father, father-in-law, grandfather, Rogo, Rowan Benjamin Evans IV has gone from this world to the place where Jesus is, to join him at the heavenly feast, the eternal banquet. And for this we give the Lord Jesus Christ our thanks and praise. We celebrate Rowan's life and his passing, for the pains that troubled him for so long are now gone. And he's made whole again. My friends, treasure his memories. Treasure his love. For one day you will see him again, along with Thule, Bunny, Martha, and other loved ones who have followed the way, the truth, and the life. Now, in closing, I need to share something with you that happened after this church had been transformed, much of which is through Rowan. We stood right here in the sanctuary, right over here, and Rowan looked around, and with tears in his eyes, he said to me, "This is home."